And we're back here, with Representative Amanda Price. Good morning, Amanda.
Morning, Duke. How are you today?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
I just heard a little bit about this disparity in the third grade reading and that sort of thing.
Right. So this is a new piece of legislation that we just dropped in last week. We introduced it last week, and it's the goal is to increase literacy at, at the third grade level. And so it puts a kind of a line in the sand or a backstop, if you will, that says, you know, reading, well, in third grade, so up to third grade, kids read to learn. Excuse me. They learn to read.
Yeah.
They learn to read. And after that, they read to learn. And so it's so important to have that kind of line in the sand and say, if you're not doing this well by third grade, it's going to impact the rest of your educational career.
Right.
Has implications for high school graduation and high school dropout and all that. So what the bill does is really ask that children be reading at that third grade proficiency level or not go on to fourth grade.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's House Bill 5111. It's a very short bill. I have it here. It's basically one page. It's, you know, two sentences on the other side. And, it, you know, 32 other states have something like this in statute. 14 of them will not promote children unless they're reading at that third grade level in third grade. And so it's just, I believe, very common sense. You know, we had last year when kids were tested, we had about 105, almost 106,000 kids at that third grade testing. And so these are kids that were in third grade now are in fourth grade and being assessed at the beginning of the school year. About 32% of them were not proficient in reading.
Do they take remedial reading then? Or take the grade over?
Well, right now there's nothing in place for either one of those to happen. Very few kids are retained in classes right now at that third grade level. So this is kind of a wake-up call that says we need to pay a lot of attention to this. Because if these kids are functioning at a lower level, they'll be achieving at a lower level later on in their school career.
So are you for it?
I am. It's my bill.
That's your bill.
It's my bill.
Very good.
Yeah, I've been working with Tommy Stallworth, who is a Democrat from the city of Detroit, who is as concerned about this as I am. And so he will have in the bill that will be coming forth soon, the focus, my bill kind of, here's the line in the sand, here's the backstop.
Yeah.
His bill will come along and say, make sure kids are getting assessed every year or they're getting some reading interventions. Maybe there's a suggestion for a summer school reading program. His bill will come along and make some suggestions about that. I think it's really important for people to realize this, while it appears that it may put some pressure on the schools, I hope it puts a lot of pressure on parents. This is so, you know, every night reading to your kid and starting at a very early age and not letting that the television set call to the whole family rather than put the book in front of kids. Have them read and get their reading proficiency higher.
Okay, we have a call here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, Amanda, I don't remember if it was you that was on the radio last time or not. I had called in about our bill, you know, like a water bill and your gas bill and electrical bill, that they have on there a ready-to-serve charge. I don't remember if that was you that I talked to or not.
That doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, because I had talked to one of the representatives, and they were going to check into it and find out why they could do that. So,
I can give you a little bit of background. It's you know, utilities have to have the capability to provide service to you, and with a renewable portfolio standard that we have in place, and some choice for commercial and industrial customers in the system, there is a cost to providing that baseload capacity for customers. And so I'm assuming that's what that is. But I'll do some more checking.
Because this is residential, and they got, you know, instead of raising your bill. They just add this other charge to it, which is almost as much as your bill.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Checking.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, I had that same thing. I looked at my gas bill, and I see the extra charges are almost as much as the gas I use. So.
Yeah, PSC has the ability to put additional tariffs on folks' bills, and some of them are for good reasons, and or in my opinion, some of them are not.
Yeah, right. All right, let's go on here and talk about some other things. We have something about a remote. A what type of notice? Removing the notice provisions for striking workers.
Right. This is another bill I had introduced last year and has been reintroduced and just recently had some hearings in the committee. So back in 1962...
Let me interrupt you for this call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning, Duke, and good morning, Representative. I just wanted to say, thank you for putting a bill to look at our school systems, basically with the reading and the functioning of, courses where, our children are not test ahead, basically, just as, a work that it's, you went through this function and that's it. we have a lot of children that are just being passed through, but they're not functioning at the level they should. But what I wanted to ask was, why is it just for third graders? We have children in all grades going into high school and past that can't function at the level they're supposed to be. Why is your bill just for third graders? And can we expand on that to have it for other grades? And I thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's really interesting. My bill focuses on third grade at that reading level. So I thought it was critical that this was a time in their lives when, they're making it that critical juncture, having good reading skills or not so good reading skills, and wanted to focus on that. Now, your suggestion is a good one, and I'll have to take that under consideration.
Okay. All right. Now, back to the notification of striking.
Oh, yeah. So back in 1962, employers could advertise or recruit replacement workers if their employees were on strike or in a lockout, and they were required to tell the new employees that they hired that this strike was going on or there was a lockout and publish notification in the newspaper. Well, this bill would remove that public notification publication. So the information is readily available already online, and just thought this was an onerous burden on the employer. So we're looking to remove that.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yes, I'd like to state about a friend's daughter who is in high school, and she is very bored with math because she's way beyond it. So they're going to keep her behind. And the ones that need the help, they are going to help them instead of her. I think my children went to school in Anchorage, Alaska, and they were pushed just as fast as they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter graduated from valedictorian from West Ottawa. And out of the number that graduated that year as valedictorian, she was number one because she was bored the first 2 years. And she worked, she took extra credits from Hope and everything. She got a full ride scholarship to Michigan Tech. So consequently, I, as a widow, all I had to pay was room and board. And, why not take advantage of Hope's classes for all of us kids? So let this little gal who wants to push ahead, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I agree. Education is not a one-size-all enterprise. And so kids that can excel should do that. But kids that aren't doing so well should have that extra assistance.
Yeah, but the teachers don't want to help the ones that are excelling. They are there for the other ones. Well, then push. Put her in another class. Put her in the grade ahead. She can do the work,
mm-hmm.
or send her to Hope.
I would think as long as...
penalize the smart one, and also penalize the ones who can't learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there needs to be provision for accommodating children's different learning abilities.
Well, I think it ought to be all grades, not just one grade. Come on. Teachers are lazy nowadays.
Okay.
Fact, as a matter of fact, I know one teacher. She says, oh, maybe we'll have a snow day tomorrow. Isn't that wonderful? She's a lazy teacher.
Hey. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. With that third grade reading efficiency, will that help their spelling, too? Spelling today reading is very important, but spelling is also. If they read well at efficiency, will that have to help their spelling? That's my question. I'd like to have her answer that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think any, I'm just thinking back as times when I was learning to read, any time that you have more familiarity with words and you're seeing them more often and you're learning more words, you're going to become a better speller. So okay. That would ultimately help as well.
Okay. I think we have another call coming in. Good morning. You're online with our guest. Really? I don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. All right. On the notice to workers, we took care of that subject. So now we have metal theft.
Right. So this is a package of bills, two bills that have been worked on for 2 years in a work group. This is a bipartisan package, and folks really worked hard. They took it to heart that this is a serious problem across the state, and they came up with a reform to the current system. And so where it was including non-ferrous metals before, now it will include ferrous, which is copper or iron and steel. There's going to be some delayed payments for certain kinds of things that are high theft.
I see.
Catalytic converters,
yeah.
Air conditioning, copper wires. So if somebody brings those to a scrapyard, they're not going to get paid right away. So it's a kind of a pushback on
leave that. Your address.
Leave your address. There's going to be some more checking of things.
Right.
And so it's a serious issue. This group of folks worked really hard to get it passed, and they did a nice job.
Good.
So
good.
It passed the House last week, I think, 99-8, I believe.
That's pretty good, Rick.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it passed.
It did.
All right. And we have blight bills coming up.
Right. There are about 9 cities in the state who have put in place administrative hearings bureaus and to deal with the blight problems in their areas. Detroit, Jackson, Battle Creek, I believe. And a lot of these laws that are currently in place across the state as they pertain to these hearing bureaus didn't have enough teeth in them. So the bills would put more teeth in. It would really target those speculative investors that hear about the number of properties that are available in Detroit, buy them up very cheaply, and then just let them sit there, and then we go back to the metal theft problem again. So the houses are deteriorating, they're impacting neighborhoods, and so this would allow, for instance, more financial penalties, possibly some garnishments. And even if you're not paying attention, you could end up with misdemeanor and some fines like that. So, this package of bills came through the local government committee, which I chair. It is such a large problem. We've taken testimony on it several times. So it's not only just in those 9 cities with those hearing bureaus. It's all the way across the state in large and small cities. And so we're going to be forming a task force or a work group to really pull out some more ideas as to how to deal with this and hopefully introduce some bills as a result of that.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to take a moment out for a weather word here. And the weather word is brought to you by Hop-In Grinders, pizzas, appetizers, and more. Hop-In in downtown Fenville. And the outlook for the weather... High of 54 today with partly sunny weather and partly cloudy tonight with a low of 45. And tomorrow, more clouds and sun with a high of 59. And we're at about 44 degrees right now here in the Tulip City. All right. Continuing here with our representative this morning, the Court of Claims legislation.
Yeah, this is Senate Bill 652, which was introduced by Senator Jones, who's the senator from Allegan mm-hmm. County. And what this does is, in the early 70s, the legislature established Ingham County as the Court of Claims for the state. So if you wanted to sue the state, you would go to that particular jurisdiction and sue the state. So this would, and prior to that time, the judges were selected from around the state, and that constituted the mm-hmm. Court of Claims. So kind of looking at reforming that, it's a little bit outdated, and so they're moving, they move the Court of Claims from that individual county to the entire state, and then it would pull judges from the Court of Appeals to sit on panels to hear these different matters before that are for the state. So that's what it basically does, and no new judges, no new facilities. So it just moves it so
just
that
moving it around
so that, you know, in effect, the judges that are sitting there have been elected by the entire population versus those folks in Ingham County.
Okay, now we have the public notice work group.
Yeah, this is a big piece of legislation that I've been working on all summer, along with a whole group of folks. 255 different laws that we're really taking a hard look at and trying to standardize, so that, you know, when you look at the newspaper, for instance, you see the summary of the Holland City council meetings. And so we're looking to standardize the number of times you have to publish and where you have to publish.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have a large package of bills coming out, probably about 115.
I'm sure that the legal field is looking forward to this, too.
Well, it's, you know, a legal field would be, but it's just going to, when you take a look at how difficult it is for the local clerks to know how many times they have to publish a certain notice, it's onerous.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hello. I have an issue with the garbage that's being brought into Michigan from Canada. And I just wondered if Amanda had any thoughts on that and where her stance is on that. Just don't hear much about it and like to get rid of it. So I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I'm searching my memory. I know this was something that we were importing garbage into Michigan and at a certain point exporting our medical waste to Canada. And I'm not sure that export of medical waste is still happening. I have the same concerns about it. It's coming over. We're taking up a lot of space in our landfills.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little different geology than we do, and so they can't dig. And so that's why it has been brought in. But we'll have to take a look at that. I haven't looked at it for a few years, and I will.
Good.
Relook at.
All right, let's talk about the school safety drills.
Yeah, this is another bill that's come through the Education Committee lately. Current law is that you have 6 fire drills, 2 lockdown drills, and 2 tornado drills every year. Well, folks may remember that the Grand Rapids Press, MLive, did a big story on the compliance with all those safety drills in the school system. I think in one school in Muskegon County did 8 safety drills in one day. So they weren't spreading them out and helping the kids learn how to be safe in situations. They were trying
to get them over with,
and oops, we forgot to do those. So these bills would stretch it out. So a couple of them, you'd have to have 2 fire drills by December, 1 fire drill in the city, or excuse me, tornado drill in March, 1 lockdown drill by December 1. And so it spaces it out, but then removes one of the fire drills and puts it to a lockdown drill. So there'd be 5 fire drills, 3 lockdown drills, and 2 tornado drills.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was. I remember reading that report and being surprised that.
What's going on with the MSDGD legislation?
Well, that's been revised quite a bit. It keeps the program still in place, but allows farmers to get a little bit closer to some of the facilities that run across their land. It also takes away some of the governmental immunity that local units of government had, because what they found was they were some of the offenders that were hitting and not calling. So that package of bills started out in the Senate, went through the Senate, came through Energy, and so we're looking at that right now.
Okay, all right. And, of course, the good news is that the state tax difference is going to be the law.
Yeah, that's a good piece of legislation. So sales tax on the difference. If you buy a new car, trade in your old car,
right,
you'd only have to pay sales tax on that difference. It phases in. I think in the first year you get up to $2,000 of the sales tax,
mm-hmm.
but then it phases in $500 a year over several years because there were impacts to a lot of budgets, but especially the school budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think boats right off the bat are exempt.
Oh,
if you do a trade in for a new boat.
A boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a real, but decades. In the making.
Yeah, well, we used to have it that way, and then all of a sudden it was taken away from us, and then it took a long time to get it back.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't realize it had been in place before.
Yes, it had been. I remember that. And, of course, now we still have the people in the family can still swap the cars,
yeah.
I think, without paying the tax. Is that right?
I think so.
So that's a nice feature.
Yeah.
And my kids all seem to swap cars all the time among each other, which makes it kind of nice.
It is.
All right. Well, how soon is the session going to last this time?
This week we're, the normal schedule, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next week, again, same thing. And then we will, hunting break takes.
You'll be off for Thanksgiving.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in December.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to a little time with my husband. Also, there's a water conference that Ottawa County puts on that Monday before Thanksgiving that I'm looking forward to hearing the results of that.
We're out of time. Thanks so much, Amanda, for being here this morning.
Thank you.